Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Look, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We'll be taking a look at that chapter, maybe a touch of 13 as well, as a text for our sermon this morning. Most of us are familiar with the story of Israel's slavery in Egypt for 400 years. We're familiar when God sent Moses. If you've been in any of these Bible classes back here in the back growing up, or if you've been in Bible classes here, or you read in your Bibles daily, I hope you've read this story. When God sent Moses to free the people from Pharaoh in Egypt, Moses had met with Pharaoh, their king, on several occasions, telling them that God, and telling him directly, that God wanted him to release the people from their slavery. But even when Moses performed miracles, and he did, unbelievable miracles, unquestionable miracles, even when Moses performed the miracles to prove the Lord was directing him and Pharaoh, Pharaoh refused to release the people. And after a series of disastrous plagues that you can read about, sent by God, that didn't change the Pharaoh's heart. That didn't change the king's heart. It didn't change his mind. Water turning to blood, frogs everywhere, lice that just eat you up, boils all over you, hail that destroyed so much. Moses informed him that God would send a final judgment on him and his nation if he did not let the children of Israel go. And because of Pharaoh's hard heart, now, do you know what that means, a hard heart in this context? That would be a mind closed to repentance. That is Pharaoh making up his mind. Please be clear on this, because there are some commentators that would have you believe that God did something with his mind to change his ideas and cause him not to want to repent. Nothing could be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is that Pharaoh was stubborn, just like we are oftentimes. And he was rejecting the God of heaven, and he was in unbelief. And that was because he wanted to be in unbelief. So because of Pharaoh's hard heart, an angel was sent to take the life of every firstborn of man and beast in the country. The Israelites, however, would be spared this tragedy, provided they obeyed the Lord. We know that after the angel of death came over the land, killing every firstborn child, but sparing the Jews, Pharaoh finally let God's people go. In Exodus, we read how Moses led the Jews out of Egypt into the desert towards the promised land. And in Exodus chapter 12, we learn that Pharaoh changed his mind about the release of the Israelites after he had already come to the conclusion that he couldn't fight Jehovah, that he was going to lose every time, the scripture says that old heart got hard again. It got stubborn again. He rejected the God of heaven again. He closed his mind to repentance. He changed his mind again about their release, and he decided to pursue them with his army. Now, seeing themselves trapped between drowning in the sea, you see, you got to understand the picture here. They've traveled, Moses has taken them right up to the edge of the sea. They're right there. God has positioned them there. That's where God wanted them. They were right there on the sea, trapped between drowning and the Egyptian army. You know, I can just see this picture in my mind, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the sea. It's all before us. God's put the whole, you know, there was millions of people there. And here they all are, and in between them and the sea, you've got on the south side Pharaoh's army. And I can almost hear the hoofs of the horses in the chariots. And I can look back and I can see the cloud of dust that is just billowing. You imagine it? This may be the greatest army in all of the world. And they're coming on these fast chariots. And there's Israel. They don't have any weapons. They don't have any chariots. They don't have anything. But Moses at their head. And a majority of the Egyptians' wealth. You can read about that. Because the Israelites plundered them. Because God allowed it to happen. So here you see this picture. Now I want you to imagine yourself in the middle of that. I want you to imagine yourself in that kind of a situation in your life today, ladies and gentlemen, when the enemy, whoever or whatever it is, has us pinned down. God has provided a rescue plan. It's a rescue plan. And he doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to get up. But in these seemingly helpless and hopeless times, we face a tough adversary. We all face it. And I'm just going to ask you, are you afraid? I want you to take a look at Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." You have only to be silent. Of course we know the familiar ending of the story as Moses parts the sea. And the people walk across to safety. And we read further on that when the Egyptians try to follow, the sea returns to its natural state and all of the army of the Egyptians is folded into the sea and they drowned. And we think that this is a great Bible story, and we tell our children In our Bible classes back in the back, we tell them about it, or in VBS, and we have all kinds of beautiful pictures and things on the wall to make the point, and that's a great thing, but we often fail to see how this story applies to us. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we are afraid a lot in this life. We are stuck between a rock and a hard place a lot in this life. Our enemies are all around us. Now, I don't think it's an army that's pursuing us. Might be one day, I don't know. But I'll tell you, the enemies that surround us. It's emotional problems that we deal with. Oh, yes. It's relationship issues that we deal with. It's serious illness or accidents that we have to face. You see, that's where we're stuck in the middle, between Egypt's army and the sea. Financial problems, addictions, sinful desires and habits. And these are the type of things that pursue us, that they trap us into feeling that there's no way out, that we are stuck, that we're going to die. And when these occur in our lives, we should stop. We should breathe. And we should listen to Moses' admonition to his people, to God's people, the God that Moses relied on to save himself and the people of Israel is the same God, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to rely on today. Because let me tell you, the armies of these issues are behind us, and the ocean is in front of us. And in our minds, there's no boat. We don't have anything to fight this. We don't know how to fight it. It's doom and it's gloom. It's hard and it hurts. Are you afraid? I'm going to tell you, fear paralyzes you. The way fear works is that we begin to imagine all the bad things that might happen to us. We obsess on these dreadful thoughts that could occur in 10 seconds or in 10 years. We know that sometimes the things that we fear, they don't happen. Maybe most of the time, the things that we fear don't happen. But the reality is, sometimes they do come true. How many of you want to get cancer? You want that? Do you fear that? I do. Moses tells us, do not be afraid, because God will fight for you. God will fight for you. It stunned me. You say, Steve, how long have you been studying the Bible? I mean, long time. It stunned me. Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai will fight for me. His strength, his wisdom, his power, it's on my side. It's on your side. And against who? Against Satan's attacks that will that will hurt us. And it will cause us to have issues with our faith. We must believe that the God who parts oceans for his people will help us to overcome whatever obstacle there is that is in our place. And let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something about Yahweh. He never loses. He never loses. There's no lose in Jehovah, our Father. Moses' rescue plan requires that we strive to not be afraid. I think God Almighty knows we're going to be afraid. But what he wants us to do is have the want to try to have as much courage as we can have to stand up against the wiles of the devil in this life, to stand firm and to be focused, to stand firmly on our feet. The Israelites were ready to forget what God had done for them and give up once they were threatened by the Egyptian army. And Moses' admonition to them was this: don't throw yourself into the sea of despair. What? Are you going to turn around now because they're behind you and just go jump in the water and drown? Is that what you're going to do? You say, well, Steve, I've never had to deal with that. Well, let me tell you something. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with this. You're going to surrender to the Egyptians? You're going to give up on God? You're going to surrender? You're going to lay down and just die? You're going to try to attack them? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to try to attack the lion, the roaring lion who seeks to devour you, spiritual powers that you don't know anything about, who the scripture says will take you out. Is that what you're going to do? No. You strive to remain focused emotionally. You focus on what you know is true. When we take our eyes off of God and we focus only on the threat that's in front of us and behind us, we lose the only defense mechanism that works. And what is that defense mechanism? What is it? Come on, y'all. What's the defense mechanism? What is it that we have to have? Look at me. Faith. We've got to have faith. We know that our faith will defeat Satan. Scripture teaches us that. So we must remain connected to God by faith in order to survive. Faith in the threatening circumstances means that we are focused and we are firm in our belief. And we know that that will sustain us in a trial and trials that we have to face. No matter what the outcome, he is there with you. I'm going to talk more about that here in just a minute because I think this is the crux of the problem. It is for me. Don't be afraid. Trust and obey. Stand firm. Be still. And know that I am God. That's what we're taught. Sometimes we've done all we can know to do. And our backs are against the proverbial wall. We've tried everything. And in the case of the Israelites, they saw that there was no way out. There's no way out. There was nothing that they could do. Underline the they. There was nothing that they could do They got that message. Moses said to them, be still and observe God at work for you. And many times, listen to me, we don't allow God to work because we are physically and emotionally wrecked. We allow that to happen. It happens to all of us. But what God is telling us is he's saying, stop, focus, be still. Know that I am God. And you say, well, Steve, how do you do that? You practice it for your whole life. You teach it to your children. You explain it to them when they see a story like this. You don't just tell the story. It's a great story, you know, about Moses and the Egyptians and you know, the army and the sea, and he parted the sea. And well, what does that mean? What does it mean to you? What's the message, ladies and gentlemen? You know, we miss the opportunity to witness God's glory. Sometimes it's right in front of us. I've missed it. We just won't sit still long enough to see it unfold before us. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms chapter 46, verse 10. Need to memorize that verse if you haven't already. You need to think about it. When we are surrounded and we feel defeated, if we determine to wait upon the Lord, we are rewarded with a glimpse of his glory working on our behalf. The Lord fights for us, but we're often too busy dealing with our fear and our anxiety to notice what it is that he's doing. But if we're still, we will see that he provides when all is lost in our mind. And witnessing this great moment, this great blessing is so important because it happens. Now, most of the time, we get into this mindset that we're going to just take care of ourselves. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. You know, that's the way it is with men, right? Most men. Most men, when a problem comes up, what is it they want to do? Fix it now. Here's the things. Fix it. I'm going to fix it now. Fix it. We act as if we don't need God. But he always provides when we're in need, even if we're not smart enough to know that we're in need. If you love him and you're trying to live for him, he's going to provide for you. That's just the way it is. But the time will come, and this is the thing, y'all, I want you to understand. The time will come when you recognize you need rescuing. You need to be rescued, okay? Because you can't deal with this, men. There ain't nothing that you can do. You were stuck between a rock and the proverbial hard place. You need to be rescued. It could be illness or some other seemingly impossible situation that you face. When you've backed into a corner and you're facing an ocean in front of you and the army hotly pursuing you behind, we need way more than a little assistance. We need to be rescued or we're going to die. And there ain't any ifs, ands, and buts about it. Let me be certain that you understand this will happen to every one of us, every last one of us, that will happen to us. And when it does, we need to remember God's rescue plan. Don't run away. Some people, even on occasion, I've done this. We run. How do you run away from God? How do you run away from your issue? Denial? You just deny it happened. You just deny what you're going through. Anger? You can just throw a fit. And there's some folks that think that makes it better. That don't make it any better. That just makes you look ignorant. You can blame God. How's that going to work for you? You can turn away from your faith. You know, it's funny to me, but I've done this before in my life. I run into some kind of a terrible, disastrous situation, and I think the way to fix it is run away from God. Ask Jonah about that. Does that work? That don't work. Or the thing that happens a lot of times is we turn away from the church. It's true. This is what the enemy wants you to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what he wants you to do. Don't do it. Stand firm. I don't care what the situation is. Don't run. Don't flee. Stand firm and watch for God's power and grace. I got to tell you, fear must never win. It must never win. It must never win. Fear wins when you give in to panic. Fear wins when you give in to anxiety. Fear wins when you give in to depression. Fear wins when you give in to despair and a feeling of hopelessness. Fear must never win. Don't let go. Do not let go. Never let go of your faith and your trust in God Almighty. Let go of your solutions. You won't let go of something? Let go of your solutions. You let go of those. And all of a sudden, God's solutions will appear. And I'll tell you how they will appear. They will appear through providence. God Almighty will present a path for you if you love him and you keep his commandments. And that providential solution will appear. We have a mighty God who loves us. See, I don't think we get that, folks. I don't think we understand it. We have a mighty God who loves us, and he jealously guards us. Has he referred to himself as a jealous God? Indeed, he is. He jealously guards our lives and our soul. He's already given his only begotten Son for our spiritual salvation. Think about it. Do you think that he would spare any other resource to save us and to preserve our souls? Now, I'm not talking about our physical body, okay? I'm talking about our souls, our soul salvation, because what's most important? Going to heaven when you die. That's what's most important. And showing your faith in God Almighty and your trust in him and your obedience in him on this earth, no matter what happens to you. Faith is continuing to believe this in good times and in bad. The Israelites saw God's solution as he spread the waters, he spread the ocean open to save them from the Egyptian army. Now, how in the world can you miss that? How can you miss that if you're an Israelite? I mean, think about it, folks. Today the Lord, now listen to me because this is important. Today the Lord offers this solution to all of those who face the enemy of sin and condemnation and the judgment to come. He being people in this life, like you and me, we face this ocean that we can't overcome, the enemy of sin and condemnation. We face the judgment to come. All of us do. All those without Christ are in a critical place when it comes to the end of their lives and eternal judgment. Critical place. You can't get rid of your sins by yourself. You can't fix that disease by yourself. There is no way. Here's a fact. You can't stop sinning no matter how hard you try. None of us, any man that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth isn't in him. We all sin and fall short of the glory. Even though we've put on Christ, we still sin. And all sinners will be judged and condemned. This presents a dire, real emergency for the one, for the individual who wants to go to heaven and be right with God. Even though you know you're a sinner and sinners will be condemned, you can't change the past and you can't stop sinning. No matter how hard you try, God solves this dilemma. Don't you see? Sin is the dilemma. Sin is the huge, terrible devil's army and the ocean in between you and God. You can't save yourself. You can't change the past. God solves this dilemma. He offers us a rescue plan through the waters of baptism. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Do you want to live an eternity in the light? Do you want to be with Jesus Christ, the Savior? There's no question that Jehovah is real. There is no question. You cannot get around it. You can't get around it from a science standpoint. You can't get around it from a historical standpoint. Read Josephus. You can't get away from it from an archaeological standpoint. You can't get away from it. Listen to me. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? I do. But there's a dilemma. And that's sin. And we will be condemned because God cannot in his holiness be around people who are marred with sin. But here's the rescue plan. You ready? Here's the rescue plan. Jesus said, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Now let me tell you what that is, but I want you to picture this. Here you are, Israel. The devil with his armies behind you, the oceans in front of you. Now read it. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And Moses sticks his rod in the air and the sea parts. And the children of Israel walk through the water on dry ground. All the way through to salvation. The Israelites were saved from physical death by miraculously going through the waters of the Red Sea. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Sinners today are saved from eternal spiritual death by immersing themselves and walking through the waters of baptism. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's always been. Water cleanses. Obedience saves. This is where the miracle of forgiveness takes place. Don't you see? This is the way of safety for all of those who recognize their precarious position as sinners. This is the way of salvation for those that fear the only true and living God. And so I say, confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And walk through the waters of baptism to a place where sin and condemnation can no longer threaten your life. Become a child of God through faith, repenting of your sins, believing that he sent his only begotten Son for you, to die for you in your stead. How do you view the cross? And if as a Christian you need to implement Moses' rescue plan to deal with the problems that you have in your life, please go to God in prayer, standing firm in the faith that God will rescue you. Now let me say this, Christians. Those of you that are facing these terrible situations that you faced in your life, you Christians who have walked through the watery grave. It was a grave for the Egyptian, wasn't it? After the Israelites passed through, that water folded over them. Those of you that have walked through the flood that cleanses, the blood of Jesus Christ, your God loves you. He will fight for you. He has your best interest at heart because he is your Father that's in heaven. All right? And you decided to obey him with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. And you decided to walk the way a Christian ought to walk. He recognizes the fact that you're going to fall. He recognizes the fact that you're going to stumble. He knows that. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to try to work every day, to live your life for him, to try to develop the attributes that will help you with the propensities to do the things that you do that are right. That's what you have to do. If you think you're going to be perfect on this earth, you are sadly mistaken. Yes, you'll be baptized, and at that moment you'll be clean and free from sin, but I will tell you, if you think that's the way it's going to stay, it ain't going to be the way it's going to stay, but by the grace of God, he will cleanse you when you sin, and when you repent of those sins, and when you confess him, and you say, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to try my very best. And I'll tell you, there are times when all of us probably ought to be heading down the aisle because of the things that we've done in public or the things that we've done that's brought reproach against the church. You know, that's the way we always used to do it. You don't have to do that, but I will tell you this. If you've sinned publicly, you need to deal with that publicly, and God will forgive you. He will forgive you. If it's a public sin, you need to take care of it in a public way. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you stand on no firm ground because you're not his. You see, that's the dilemma. Are we going to get out of our own way, ladies and gentlemen? Are we going to step aside from our selfish, arrogant attitudes and just give ourselves to him? These are important things to think about. And I've thought about them all week. And my goal is that I'm saying something to you this morning that you can use this next week to be better. Okay? You're gonna sin. That's gonna happen as hard as you try not to. But the blood of Christ, the grace of God, will cleanse you. If you desire it, and you live for him, and you turn from these terrible things. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I would hope that you would think firmly about it. Because after death, there's only the judgment. That's what Scripture teaches us. And then we face God for what we've done in this life. I, for one, would like to be covered with the blood of his son. I, for one, would like to hear clearly, Steve, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. And why? Because I obeyed him. Because I loved him. And because I wanted to try every day to live for him, and even when I messed up, to turn to him, to confess it, apologize. Repent means turn away from, and to have that frame of mind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we have to walk in this life. And if you want to do that, you can, but it's going to take the want to on your part.
If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come as we stand?
Jesus, the loving shepherd, calleth me now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the born of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he.
What we're going to do now is go in prayer to